Well, good morning, and we're going to be talking about love this morning. And I'm going to be reading to you from the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter. So this is going to be John, the 13th chapter, and not starting at the beginning of the verse, but 31 through 35. And you know, I didn't mark down the number for the Pew Bible, so I'm sorry. But if you want to follow along, turn to the book of John. Okay. So just to put you in context, this is right at the time of the Last Supper. So we're at Passover. And Jesus has just celebrated the meal with the disciples, what we know of as the Last Supper. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I'm only with you a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, since we're talking about love this morning, I wanted to do a love riddle. So let's see if you can guess my love riddle. Here we go. A doctor and a bus driver were both in love with the same woman, an attractive lady named Sarah. The bus driver had to go on a long bus trip that would last a week. And before he left, he gave Sarah 7 apples. Why? Because an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Okay. Thank you for laughing. I laughed when I read it. Okay. Well, as I said, the beginning of the 13th chapter of this gospel, John's gospel, begins with the account of the Last Supper. And in that first verse, which we did not hear this morning because we're 31 through 35, we hear this key message: having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus loved them to the end. So as we move into the passages assigned for this morning that I just read to you, Jesus at this point has already washed the feet of the disciples. Judas has just departed to betray him, and the rest of the disciples seem to be in a state of confusion. And at just this moment of drama and tension, Jesus offers them these words: "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." What's the kind of love Jesus is talking about here? It isn't friendship, and it certainly isn't romantic love. Nor is it simply being nice, nor is it only loving those who love you back, which can be easy. Jesus had just demonstrated some ways he loved his followers through that final meal, and he revealed the depth of his love for them. He blessed food, and he shared it with them. He washed their feet, even the feet of Judas, the man who was just leaving to betray him. The disciples will be unable to stay awake and keep watch in the garden. And Peter will deny him later 3 times. They all are going to fail him miserably. The love that Jesus demonstrates is certainly not based on the merit of his recipients, is it? And Jesus commands them to love others in the same way, whether they deserve it or not. Further, he will now go on to demonstrate just how much God loves the world by dying for those who manifestly do not love him. This kind of love is hard because it's self-sacrificing. It means putting the good of the other first instead of putting yourself first. It means sacrificing when you're afraid of what's going to happen to you. "Love one another as I have loved you." I find it striking that these are the words Jesus leaves them with at the end of his earthly ministry. He could have said, for example, come out today and die with me. It's going to happen anyway to you. But come out today and die with me. Or when I am gone, go out and teach and preach to all the world. Or he could have said any number of other things, but he chose to say, love one another. Why did he say this? Well, thinking about it, I think it's because this kind of love is the hallmark, not just of God and Jesus, but also of us, the Christian church. Do you remember the old camp song? It goes like this. Jesus agrees that the whole world will know that we are Christians, not by our sermons, not by our church buildings, not by our theological correctness, not by our sacraments or our family values, but by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. I think it's really that important, loving one another as Jesus loves us. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in trying to love the way that Jesus loved and then failing to do so and then chastising ourselves for it that we just need to stop sometimes and remind ourselves that we actually can and we actually do love one another. I think sometimes this love command seems like it's so challenging that it's like an unattainable goal. It's this challenge. It's a lofty goal none of us will ever be able to reach. But remember that while we may not love perfectly, we do love. And sometimes one of the most powerful things you can hear in relation to a command is the affirmation of your ability to keep it. I invite you right now to recall a time this past week when you chose to love. Take a moment right now and think about that. When this week did you choose to love another? Perhaps it's when you were looking out for the interests of a work associate, or you overlooked the slight of your spouse or a friend, or you put aside your own goals to help someone else achieve theirs. How many of us who are parents do that all the time for our kids? We put aside our goals to help our kids achieve theirs. So your act of love or acts of love this week, maybe they were large acts of love, or maybe they were much smaller. But I bet that each of us did in fact love another this past week. I do. And I believe that it's good for us to remember those moments, to live them again in our memories and in our bodies, to feel that love within your heart that aligns you with Jesus' love. So loving others, it can be accomplished in so many ways, and it can show up in the most mundane of actions even, like doing the household chores, or driving to pick up something for a family member while you're out in the car anyway. Maybe you're going to take out the trash instead of waiting for your spouse to do it. Or maybe you'll help out by making dinner on a night when it's not even your turn. And then there are those heroic decisions that we make, those heroic gestures of love like donating a kidney, fighting for your country, forsaking your career for family needs. And then there are the loving actions of outreach that happen in a congregation such as this. A cheerful welcome to a visitor, making dinner for the ship house guests, donating to Mary's shelter, or packing bags of food for the hungry and homeless in our community. I bet if you think about it, you can think of a lot of different ways that you have shown love to one another this week. And now I invite you to think about a situation over the past week or two where it was difficult to love one another, where it was hard to do. And think about that right now for a moment. Maybe it's been incredibly hard to forgive someone who has hurt you, or difficult to move beyond the disappointment caused by a family member or a close friend. Or maybe you're jealous of how others look up to somebody at work instead of you. Wow, these are times when it's really hard to love another, almost impossible. But I ask you to remember both occasions, both loving and then having it be difficult to love, because the truth of the matter is that we do love regularly and we do fail regularly. And church, I think, can be that place where we can celebrate and give thanks for when we're able to love and pray about it when we're not. Let me share a story with you. I had just ended a weekend prayer retreat that I went on, and God had given me an insight to help me see the preciousness of all human beings and his everlasting love for all of us, each one of us. And after this revelation, I felt vulnerable and raw about entering into that crazy freeway traffic and my busy daily routine here at the church and at home. And I know I'm not alone in feeling this way after a retreat. It's something that a lot of people experience, that having to enter back into the mainstream of the busyness of life. And I think a lot of us receive revelations or insights, if you will, about love when we've been on one of these retreats or getaways. It's like a mountaintop experience, a sacred gift that you get from God, and you find that you've been changed. A shift has occurred somewhere within you. You see more clearly, you feel more acutely. So that day on the way home, I was so full of Christ's love for me, I looked out at the street and I saw a homeless person on the street, and I found myself in tears. It's like I found myself caring about that person, loving that person, and wondering what their situation was. And later that day in the grocery store, I saw someone who was openly grieving. I guess she had to come to the store to get food, but she was grieving. And again, I was deeply moved. I see moments like these as a grace or gift from God. Do we have been given a glimpse of how Jesus has looked upon the world's suffering and beauty with love? I know that people who have been given the gift of Curcio have experiences like this, where they feel so loved, they come out and they're changed. It's like being shown how Jesus wants us to love each other. Have you experienced something like this at some point in your life? Yeah. And at times, receiving love makes us freshly aware of love. I've had such delightful and unexpected love shown to me during this time of recovery from neck surgery that was back in January. And there's been love shown to me in the shower of cards and prayers, phone calls, meals delivered to my home by folks here at the congregation and some of our friends too. I have friends who still are driving me where I need to go because I can't drive yet. And then there's those times that I receive the kindness of strangers in a store and they say, what are you wearing that torture device for? What happened to you? And it's so gently done and so kindly done, and I know it's because they care. And I've had a few months to reflect on this, and here's what I think. When you love and are loved, you can more easily see the love that surrounds you. When you love and are loved, you can more readily recognize acts of love. When you love and are loved, you can more clearly sense expressions of love. Choosing love is not only a different way to live in the world, but also a different way to see the world. How many of you would give your life for your child or children? Yeah, how many of you would do that? If there were a choice between your life and theirs, what would you do? Would you do it? My heart pounds with the anxious feeling of being faced with a situation like that, and yet I know I would gladly sacrifice my life for theirs. I'd sacrifice my life for theirs like that. What is this kind of love? Sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. So go back to the scripture with me again and be reminded that above and beyond Jesus' command to love is his actual act of love. Jesus goes to the cross to demonstrate that, in fact, God so loved the world. Jesus did not go to the cross to make God loving, or to satisfy God's justice, or to take on our punishment. Jesus went to the cross to show in word and deed that God is love and that we, as God's children, are profoundly loved, unbelievably cherished. Whether we succeed or fail in our attempts to love one another this week and beyond, yet God in Jesus loves us more than we can possibly imagine. I think it's beyond our comprehension. And hearing of this love, we are set free and sent forth once more to love one another. We see that in the economy of God, resurrection equals love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Something else from John. And finally, we acknowledge that sacrificial love is hard for us, but we can give in the simple, small ways that are available to us. Maybe not dying for our family or our church community, but we can make personal sacrifices nonetheless, and we do. One more story. At the end of a women's weekend retreat that I gave for some ladies in the mountains a few years ago, one of the women presented me with a prayer shawl she had knitted. She gave it in love, and I received it in love. I also received a warm hug from her. When I pray, I often drape it over my knees or my shoulders. It brings me back to that moment when she gifted it to me. And I like reaching for it to feel the softness of the knitted wool, and the soothing colors are so beautiful. When I hold it, I remember that I am loved, and I remember to choose to love. Amen. So take a moment and bow your heads and pray with me. Loving God, it's so hard sometimes to follow your command to love others. We really need your guiding hand all the time to show us how. Open our hearts to feel your amazing love for us, that we might be so filled with the joy of this gift that we can more easily put our own selfish concerns aside and love others as you have commanded. This kind of surrender and obedience, Lord, can only be accomplished by your Holy Spirit. So please put your heart of love within us so we can learn to love as Jesus loves. Thank you, loving God. Amen.